Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak at Shalom. We're now in Masachet Bava Metzia, Daf Tzadi Chet Amud Bet, at the bottom of the Amud Mishnah Gimel of the 8th Perak. Hashoel Tapara, Bishulchal, Obiad Bno, Biad Avdo, Biad Shlucho, Obiad Bno, Biad Avdo, Biad Shlucho, Shoel, Umeita, Patur. So we're looking here at the boundaries of when it is in the property or the domain of the lender, such that if it dies at that point, there's no liability for the borrower, and when it crosses that. So if the lender sends it with his own son, with his slave, we'll deal with that, and his agent, or with the son, slave, or agent of the borrower, but as you'll see, that's where the lender initiates it, that it dies a putter. Amalo Ashua, but if the borrower said, Shachala biad bin biad avdi biad shluchi, or biad bin chao biad avdacha biad shlucha, if the same thing happens, but it's generated by the borrower, or even, Shamalo Hamashil, the lender said, Arenu Shachala chabiad bin biad avdi biad shluchi, or biad bin chabiad avdacha biad shlucha, the lender says, I'm going to send it with one of those six people. If your mother was Shuel Shlach, and the borrower says, go ahead, then he's liable. The same is true when returning it. All right, so let's take a look. The first question is, why in the second case, when the lender sends it with his slave, why is there liability? Yad Eved ki Yad Rabo. After all, the Eved himself is like the owner, after all, the Yad Eved ki Yad Rabo, and therefore it has never really left the property of the lender. So Rav Shmuel Eved Ivri. So Shmuel says talking about an Eved Ivri. Lo kani legufe. He's not owned by the master, and therefore you don't say Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabo. Rav Amar Filu Tein Lev Eved Kanani. This is of course much more comfortable for us, because deposit any time that a case in which an Eved is invoked in the Mishnah is specifically talking about an Eved Ivri is difficult, considering that an Eved Ivri has been out of operation for close to 1,000 years at this point. Rav says it could even be an Eved Kanani, and we consider it as if the lender, the borrower said, go ahead, hit it with a stick and it'll come on its own. In other words, the Eved's not really coming along with it as the owner, but just sort of guiding it. So Meitive, we have the following challenge. So this, unlike our Mishnah, distinguishes between sending it with a son or agent or an Eved. So Bishlamah Shmuel and Nitin Bevid Ivri, Bright to Bevid Kani. Shmuel has it easy. He'll say our Mishnah is Eved Ivri, which he already said, and that Bright is Eved Kani, and because Eved Kani is Kiyad Rabbo, therefore the borrower is Putter. El Rav Kasha, but Rav cannot give such an answer. So Amalacha Rav Lotema Nasaka Amarle. So Rav could answer as follows. Don't interpret that our Mishnah is it's as if he said hit it with a stick. Meaning that when he sent it with the slave, what he meant was, give it a kick and it'll come. And eat so that if the borrower says, go ahead, give it a hit and it'll come on its own, the minute it leaves the property line of the lender and it dies, then the shoel is chayiv. And that would be the case here. Good, so when we say Eved is Chayav, is when it was that case. Eved Patur is when the Eved comes along. Now, in Mesayele, perhaps that statement of Rabba Bavua is supported by exactly parallel Breita. Hashilele Paratcha, Vamarele Biadmi, Vamarele Hachisha Makel Vitavo, Chayav, same thing. Now, Amar Rashi says, no, the Breita doesn't necessarily mean that way. Achmaskin Gon Shaita Chatzor Shal Shoel, Lefimi Chatzor Shal Mashil. If the lender was inside of the chatzer of the mashil, so you kick the cow, there's only one place for it to go. So, if that's the case, then what's the havamina that it wouldn't work? We understand when you say, give it a kick, that it's going to go directly to the borrower, and therefore it's obvious that the minute it leaves the lender that the borrower was chayiv. The answer is, if there's thorns and other things along the way, the cow may not get there. Maybe the owner is not relying on the fact that the cow is going to leave Maybe the cow will stop there and won't come all the way. The answer is that when the two chatzerot are butting each other, he really does rely on it. Okay. I'm Rav Huna. Hashoa kardom michavaro. Rav Huna says a very strange halacha. He says if you borrow an axe from someone, bakabo knao, lo bakabo lo knao. If you used it to chop wood, then you make a kinyan on it. But if you didn't use it, then you didn't make a kinyan on it as a shoel, which is very weird. Lamai. Ilim ala onsin. You think that you're not chayiv an onsin until you've used it? So Mishna Parad Mishat Shela, Parah we see in our Mishnah, the minute you borrow it, the minute it crosses the line, the minute it comes into your property, you're chayiv. So Elwa Chazara. It must be for the following. That the mashiel can ask for it back and retract the loan until the lender, the borrower has used it. Once the borrower has used it, he can't anymore. That's Rav Huna's position, the way we've clarified it, but it's still difficult. Upliga to Rabbi Yami, it goes against Rabbi Yami. Damar Rabbi Yami, Hamashil Kardom Shalakdesh Ma'al Lefitova Tanashibo. Ferro Mutal Levakabo Lachatchila. Let's say you have an axe which belongs to Hekdesh, and you lend it to somebody. The minute you lend it, it already goes Lechulin. You're Chayiv Me'ila based on, not the value of the axe, but based on the Tova Tanah that you get of the fact that you lent the thing to the guy. And in the meantime, the other guy can use it. It's already chulin. And you're chayiv money to the hekdesh. So if you look, why is it that if the minute you give it to him, according to Rav Huna, he hasn't taken possession, only once he's used it? After all, why are you chayiv? Why is the other guy now allowed to use this thing that was of hekdesh? Let him give it back, because he didn't yet use it. And there's no kinyan, and there's no meila, no nothing. So Rabbi Ami certainly does not sit well with Rav Huna. Upliga Rabbi Lazar. By the way, Rav Huna's statement doesn't work with Rabbi Lazar either. The Amar Rabbi Lazar, Kederach Shtikna Mashiach B'Lukuchot. Rabbi Lazar agrees with his lansman, Rabbi Yochanan, that the Iker Kinyan D'Oraita on Metal Talin is Ma'ot. We've seen that earlier in Babat Seir. We saw it in Kiddushin. Dvartar Maut Konot, and Meshicha was a Takara Rabbanan made to protect the buyer so that he wouldn't pay money, and then before he took possession, suddenly something happens to the goods. So now, Kishem Shetiknu Meshicha B'Lekuchot, Kach Tiknu Meshicha B'Shomrim. Rabbi Lazar says, just like there's a Kinya, there's a Takana, that you are not liable until, and therefore you don't owe the money until you take possession by Mashiach. Similarly, you're not liable until you take possession as a shomer via Mashiach. But the minute you take possession by Mashiach, you're liable, and we don't wait until you first used it. Same thing. Ukashen is an expansion, it's a kshem shakarka nigga because of shtam chazaka, kach schir nigga because of shtam chazaka. Just like land is bought through the famous three kinyonim, similarly, schirut. Now that doesn't make sense at all. Schirut mayavite, what's schirut doing here? Rachista schirut karka means renting land. Just like buying land happens because of shtam chazaka, similarly, renting land happens not only through kinyon sudar, but also through because of shtam chazaka. Okay, another parallel. But the main point of that statement was, the point of overlap between Rabbi Lazar and the Braita, which is that Mashiach b'Shomer, the minute that a Shomer takes possession, he's fully liable, and he's a Shomer, and the Mafkid can't take it back, etc. Okay, I'm a Shmuel. Haiman de Gozel Chavitza de Tamrim Chavero. If a fellow steals some pressed date cakes from another fellow. Ve'ipa Chamshi Tamari. So let's say, for instance, it has 50 dates. If you were to sell the whole piece together to, let's say, a retailer, you'd sell it wholesale, you'd sell it for 49, let's say, prutot. But if you sold them separately, then it's sold for 50. So in other words, this thing has two values to it. It has a lower value, and it has a higher value. Why is there a lower value in selling it as a clump? Because now the fellow has to separate the dates out. He's got to have some sort of profit margin for his work. All right? So now, lehed yod, if you stole it from a regular guy, mishalom chamshim nechichadi, you have to pay 49. Lehekdesh, but if you stole it from hekdesh, mishalom chamishim, you have to pay 50, meaning that we take the upper value, and v'chumshayu, separately you have to pay a chomesh because it's me'ila. Masha'en ken mazik, but if you're mazik, if it's of hekdesh and all you do is destroy it, tolem v'shalom chumshayu, you don't pay chomesh, you pay the 50, but you don't pay the chomesh. So there's three possibilities. The thing belongs to a regular citizen, you pay 49. In other words, you pay the lower value of this thing, the wholesale price, as it were. If it is of hekdesh and you enjoyed it, you devoured it, then you have to pay the higher price, the retail price, as it were, plus a chomesh. If you were mazik it, you have to pay the retail price without the chomesh. Why? D'amar mar, v'ishki ochal kodesh, the pasuk about chomesh in payment for me'ila is in the one pasuk on the page, and it says, ki ochal kodesh, prat ma'mazik, so it's only if you benefit and you eat it, you have to pay chomesh, not if you destroy it. All right. Matki rabbi b'abaye, so he challenges this. Why do you pay 49 if you stole it from a hedjot? Name alay. The victim could say, I was going to sell them one at a time. I was going to put the work into them, and they would have been worth 50 to me. So from Rabbi Yehoshua, Shemin Beit Seah Be'otah Sadat Nani, quotes the Mishnah at the beginning of the sixth parak of Bava Kama, says that when we evaluate Nezek, we evaluate it based on the local field meaning. But take a look at Rashi. Gabin Zokin the Shane Bava Kama, Kiaver Isa Del Cheret Sedu Nan Ketzav Shalom Mashizika. How do you measure what the animal has to pay for Shane? Shemin Beit Seah Be'otah Sadat, Kamay Tayafa, Bachama Hiyafa. Right? In other words, we'd see how much was this particular vegetable bed worth before, and how much is it worth now, and he has to pay the difference. And continuing Rashi, V'ein medaktakin liot shamin ha'achila levadam ha'ita shava ha'ruga zushin ha'chalet. We don't look at the eating independently and say, what was it worth by itself? But rather, how much was this now depreciated as a result of eating it? So let's say the guy was going to come sell some land. How much would this land now be worth less as a result of the animal eating it? And that's what you have to pay. In the same way, here, if this guy was going to sell this clump, how much would he say? 49. So you have to pay him 49. All right, so that means that when it comes to hedyot, that's how we measure it, and the victim does not necessarily get the higher price. However, this is all premised on one notion, which is that Shmuel does not equate hekdesh and hedyot. Remember, the Sava Shmuel din hedyot lav kedin gavu adami? Vatanan. There's a Mishnah in Me'ila, we've seen it several times, Natal Evan Okora Mehekdesh. If a guy stole some construction materials, stones or beams from hekdesh, lo mal. You picked it up from hekdesh, there's no Me'ila yet, you haven't done anything. But if you gave it to another fellow as a gift, whatever, huma'al, you, the giver, are mo'al, v'chaveh olomal. Let's say instead you built it into your house. You didn't do anything, just built it into your house as a beam. Loma'al adshadur tachteh v'sharapruta. There's no me'ila until you actually live in it. The building itself is not me'ila. That's the Mishnah. V'yativ Rabbi Avahu kamei Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan's Talmud was sitting in front of him and said, V'yativ kamei mishpeni Shmuel. He quoted Shmuel saying, Zot omeret, hadar b'chatzachareh shalom midato tzorech la'alot lo sachar. That if somebody lives in a courtyard of another fellow, the other fellow is out of town. This is a sugi we dealt with earlier. And a sugi we dealt with also in the Darim. And the owner doesn't know that he's there. You still have to pay him rent. Why? Because Shmuel says, aha, from the fact that living in the house is called Hanah, and therefore you're now moral on the beam, I see that a hedyot you have to pay also, which means Shmuel holds that Din Hedyot and Din Hekdesh are the same, and one can be learned from the other. So the answer we give is Hadib Shmuel Me'ahi. That last reading that we had, Shmuel earlier took, and then he changed his mind and came to the one that we're dealing with the date cakes. In other words, that Hedyot and Hekdesh are different. Wait, who said that Shmuel changed his mind in that direction? Maybe he changed his mind from the date cakes and came to the conclusion that Hekdesh and Hedyot are the same. So, we know that he changed his mind from the equating the two. Because as Rava said, retreat, you taking something from Hekdesh without knowledge, without awareness, equal to doing something with awareness from a hedyot. So we see that the accepted norm is that hekdesh and hedyot are not treated the same way. Okay, last piece here is a statement of Rava. Amar Rava, Hadish Gulay de Tabu Chavita de Chamer Chanva. A supporters broke a barrel of wine owned by a fellow who sells wine. B'yomer Shukim is davening b'chamesh. We have a similar case that this is something that has fluctuating value. But here it's not fluctuating based on whether they're pressed together or not. It depends on when you're selling it. On a market day, it would sell for 5. Shayom is davening arba. On other days of the week, it would sell for 4. So ahadu le b'yomer Shukim, if they return it on a day of the Shuk, mahadu le chavita d'chamra, they have to return a barrel of wine. In other words, he wants to sell his barrel of wine. His barrel's gone. They have to give him a barrel of wine to sell. But if they come on a different day, they have to pay him 5, even though on that day it would only be worth 4. That's only if he doesn't have any other wine to sell. But if he has other wine to sell and he hasn't sold it, then their breaking the wine has not deprived him of making a livelihood. So I buy the zvune. He should try to sell the other wine. So what they do is they pay the 5, but they knock off the value that he gets for not having to sit and watch this wine, because he didn't have to, and the tap that he would have to tap into the wine to instead of selling a barrel, sell it as separate pieces, just like with the separate dates, where he would make more. He saved himself that tap, so that they don't have to pay him. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick up in Mishnah Daled in the next podcast. I'm Daf Kuf Amud Aleph. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.